Welcome to Within the Realm. I'm your host, Steve Garrett. Here at Within the Realm, we say that everything has a story. Well, here's one from my family. I recently received a telephone call from my sister asking about our great-uncle Charles and his untimely death. We'd never met Charles, and we didn't know much about him. His passing was not a subject that was open for discussion in our family. Our people can be rather stoic about such things. My sister had called to establish when this event, Charles's death, occurred in the family timeline, and to cross-reference a few statements that she had heard about it. I've always been interested in history, and especially the family history. I enjoy piecing the story together, taking this part of the story as told by my Aunt Pat, referencing that against that of Jack Steele, the pastor at the First Christian Church, and his stories about the family. Then superimposing those on the stories that I know about our community and about our hometown. Working for Sam Love, our local editor, allowed me access to a treasure trove of items about local history. I listened to the conversations in my grandmother's kitchen and cataloged the statements made by my granddad and the older men. I was fortunate enough to have great-grandparents and aunts of my grandparents to use as primary sources to learn and verify these family stories. I marveled at how these antecedents of mine seemed surprised when I would ask for clarification about a story or event that occurred in the family timeline. But by doing so, I was able to connect to these people from which I sprang. I learned about my great-grandparents' home burning while they were away in the 20s. My great-grandmother was deathly concerned that this would happen again for the rest of her life. That's why they built their house out of stone. I learned that my grandfather's grandfather was a stern, overly stern man with 14 kids. He died in poverty and lay buried in the local cemetery without a headstone until his son, my great-grandfather, provided one that simply said, Garrett. I learned about a circuit-riding Campbellite preacher, about a settlement named Vineyard, established on the western edge of Arkansas before statehood. All these things fleshed out the story of my people. I have never been a fan of the begat kind of family history, the kind that only lists who begat whom. I wanted to know more about these folks, and thanks to the longevity of several members of my family, I was able to do just that. Our Aunt Clara, actually my granddad's Aunt Clara, was able to connect me with the members of my family that had survived the Civil War, and was able to tell me stories that they told her firsthand about their lives before that great conflict. She and other elders were able to provide details derived from firsthand knowledge about personalities, professions, and ways of life that rounded out these people to me. Every once in a while, during our conversations, Aunt Clara would lean in and lower her voice to a whisper, "Don't tell anyone, but..." And then she would deliver what she considered family gossip. It was usually something very innocuous, like a family member attending the church his wife belonged to rather than that of a proper denomination, which, in her opinion, was Methodist. Oral histories are important. Over a century ago, sociologists and others from universities began recording the oral traditions of the Native Americans, beginning on wax cylinders. During the Great Depression, writers were hired by the WPA, the Workers' Progress Administration, to document stories from the old-timers about the old days. This Federal Writers Project was able to catalog stories from people who had experienced the heyday and the closing of the American West, Reconstruction and the rise of the robber barons, and slavery. These oral histories can put us in the wagons carrying our families west, or with them while they're clearing acreage for planting, or in a one-room schoolhouse. These stories connect us to where we come from and to who we belong, and they can show us who we were meant to be. After filling in my sister, I started to suggest she corroborate my information with someone. That's when I realized my grandparents' generation was all gone, and most of the next generation is gone too. There was no one left to corroborate the information. I realized that I am now the keeper of the old stories. It drove home what I already believed. The stories are important. They inform you about who you are and what others did to get you here. With the stories, you understand better the debt you owe to people you never met, who are working hard on building a firm foundation for the future, for you. And just as important as they are, the stories can be easily lost. I would suggest to take time at family gatherings to quiz your grandparents and your great aunts and uncles about the family, about the events the family lived through. Connect. Sure, it's not necessary to know the stories, but it provides a connection and a color to your family and to yourself. I've decided to share a family story that I learned from my grandparents. No one else in the family really knew of this story. It's a good example of what treasures you can come across if you listen. First, a little background. My grandparents were Mac Neal and Emma Bell Garrett. They lived in East Peavine. That's a little rural community in the middle of Adair County, Oklahoma. Peavine is made up of small farms and not so small farms that surround a rural kindergarten through 8th grade school. The kids go into town to high school. My granddad Mac was the oldest son of John Aquila and Kate Cruz Garrett. They had purchased a farm in Peavine about 100 years ago. My great-granddad, John, and my granddad drove the cattle from Prairie Grove, Arkansas, to the new farm. He was 10 or under at the time. The Garretts were hard workers, and they built a successful and profitable farm. Emma Bell was just a few years younger than Mac. She came from a prominent family in the area. Her father, Frank Adair, had been a member of the Cherokee National Council before statehood. He was a stockman and a banker, and was the first sheriff of Adair County when the county was organized in 1907. He was later the state representative from the area. Her mother was Sabina Buffington. She had died when grandmother was very young, due to complications in childbirth. When I was young, in elementary school, I asked my granddad how it was that he and grandmother had come to get married. He was sitting in his easy chair, and she was doing something in the kitchen, sort of a common thing, and he said to me, "When I decided it was time for me to get married, I thought that I should search high and low. I should go around the world to find the right girl, the right person for me. But I went down the hill and across the creek, and I thought that was far enough, and then I married the first girl I saw. And that happens to be your grandmother." I quickly heard from the kitchen, "Oh, Mac!" It was later that I learned that was not the story. Picture the scene. It's May of 1930. Everyone in town was at the Fireman's Picnic. It was the big annual event held at the city park, full of entertainment, political stump speeches, and revelry. My grandmother, who was 17 at the time, was attending high school in Stillwell. She was boarding with a family in town. Her family lived way out in the country, far too far to make a daily trip into town for school. She and the girls from that family had packed a lunch and taken a blanket to the park to take in the picnic. Mac was 21 at the time, and he owned a 1923 Model T, which made him very popular. He was able to get around pretty quick. He had hauled in several friends from Peavine to the day-long event. After all, that's where the girls were going to be. Making their rounds, the boys came upon Emma Bell and her friends. Mac and Emma Bell knew each other. They'd been sociable before, so Mac had been invited to have a seat on the blanket and visit. Somewhere in this visit, Mac outright proposed to Emma Bell. "Emma Bell, why don't we get married?" She said she protested and suggested that they just go steady, not date other people, but Mac persisted. "Let's get married." And apparently, through most of that morning and into early afternoon, he wore her down till finally she agreed. She asked him if he would drive her out to her family home so that she could get a nice dress and some jewelry for the occasion. He did so and stayed in the car while she ran in and got the things. Her appearance on the doorstep surprised her sisters, who were at home, because she was supposed to be at school in Stillwell. When they asked her what she was doing home, she pointed out the window to Granddad waiting in the car. "See that guy right there? He's fixin' to be your brother-in-law," which scandalized the girls. They drove into town to the county courthouse and got a marriage license and drove all over the city looking for a preacher to marry them. All the preachers were at the picnic, so no one was available. They drove out on Old Highway 17 to Charlie Toole's house. Charlie Toole was a pastor at one of the country churches. He agreed to marry them. They had the license. And Mrs. Toole acted as the witness. They were married in Charlie Toole's front yard there on the banks of Peavine Creek. When Mac arrived home, married, it didn't go over so very well, but he persisted that this was his wife and he was sticking with her. Some items were removed from an old shed, and that became their first home as a married couple. But just like that first night, Mac and Emma Bell stuck together. They celebrated over 50 years together, raised 4 kids, survived the Depression, and became prominent and well-loved in their own right. All because Mac wouldn't take no for an answer. Thanks for joining us today on Within the Realm. We hope you enjoyed today's episode. You can find all of our episodes archived on our website at withinpodcast.com. Be sure not to miss an episode. Subscribe to our podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, and other podcatchers. You can keep in touch with us at our social media outlets, at our Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram accounts. Be sure to follow Within the Realm at your social media of choice. Our theme music is provided by 556 and a half, and transitional music was provided by Spring Eyes and 556 and a half. And as always, thanks for listening.